with you this morning. You turn with us over in the book of Acts, chapter number 27. Book of Acts, chapter number 27. I'd like to say, I know we have new families here, and I appreciate you being here today. And just because we've not had five or six men show up at your house, don't mean we're not glad that you're here. And if you feel like this is where the Lord wants you at, you let me know. And if you've been saved by the grace of God and scripturally baptized, we'll be glad to bring you in our church. And I found out as a young pastor, Brother Tim, I went in to a home. Bring me a cough drop out of that. And me and Renee had visited a church. And on Monday evening, we'd done worked all day, you know. I was on a Pepsi route and finally got in. She'd been at Southwire all day. And there's about four men standing there on the porch, a suit and ties. And Lord, I thought it was the FBI done come to the house. Amen. I was worried about it. And they said, well, we come tell y'all that we're glad y'all at our church and you belong with us and join. And I was just a young preacher then. I said, well, I'm glad y'all come, but my wife's busy getting supper ready. Thank you for coming and showing us that. And they left, and Renee said, honey, you know, the Lord will show us where we need to be. I said, you're exactly right. And so that's what God does. God's so big you can't miss Him. And we're glad you're here this morning. Hope you feel welcome. And I hope our people make you feel welcome. Acts chapter number 27, verse number 21. This is a text about one of Paul's last missionary journeys. And you know, before I get started in this message, Renee's daddy, I thought about him. He passed in his 80s, and he had some real hard times later in his life. And he read this passage, and he asked me about it one evening, Brother David. He said, Ken, I want to ask you, he said, I thought surely as long as I've served the Lord that things would get easier, but I read about old Paul on that ship today, and I found out, you know, it's just never going to be smooth sailing until we get there. But I want to say something, we are going to get there by the blood of Jesus, and I'm thankful I'm headed there. Amen. Brother Conrad, pray for me this morning, would you, young man? Yes. Amen. Thank you, Brother Conrad. Acts 27 now. We'll start reading verse 21. Very lengthy chapter, but I won't read very long. The Bible says, and it does matter what the Bible says, but after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete, and have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. But there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, for thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. For I believe God. Y'all say that with me. I believe God. Let's say it again. I believe God. That felt so good one more time. I believe God. That it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit we must be cast upon a certain island. And we must, when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, and about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out the stern, wished for the day. As the ship were about to flee out, as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat in the sea under color, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. Thank you for standing and honoring the reading of the Word of God this morning. If you'll notice in verse number 33, I stop because I want you to see this very important text. I'm going to preach out of this text this morning. The Bible said that the soldiers had cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. And here's the phrase, and while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, this day is the 14th day that you've tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. And I want to preach out of that text this morning on some seven ups for the day approaching. Some seven ups for the day approaching. What day are you talking about, Pastor? I'm talking about the day when the Lord returns. When we're soon to land to that distant shore where many of us have been sailing for many years. Now, as I looked in this Bible yesterday, I found seven ups that would help us to get through this day that is at hand. Notice, first of all, I love Paul and his writing. Verse 21, he spoke to us and he told us, Brother Ty, to cheer up. Cheer up. You know something, we shouldn't look so sad. We're on the winning side. If God be for you, who can be against you? He said in verse 21, after long absence, Paul says, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me, not have loosed from Crete. I wonder how many times I wished I would listen to the preacher. How many times would we all been better off if we had listened to our preacher? And so here, Paul didn't get in a bad move. I love his nature. He's always trying to help somebody. And as we see this day approaching, we need to learn to cheer up. He said, I exhort you to be of good cheer. I encourage you to be of good cheer. For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but the ship. There stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. And he said, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. Lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with these. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. I wonder in this day and this hour, as many things is going on in our culture, in our country, do we still believe God? I looked around last week at such a powerful service we had. We had several people moved to the altar with burdens, and it went on for a good amount of time. And I got to thinking, you know something? I'm glad there's still a God that I can believe in this morning that will help me with all of my troubles and all of my cares. And the better that it sinks through all of us that we all need God in the same way, we'll all get better off in this day and this hour. There's nobody here that is immune to trouble. There's nobody here that is immune to heartache. But I want to tell you something this morning. As your preacher, I believe God. And so he says, cheer up. I want to say, We ought to cheer up verse 23 because God's protection. He said, there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. I'm glad I'm in the Father's hand. I'm glad nobody can pluck me out of that hand this morning. And oh my, we need to realize we ought to cheer up because God's protection. Wonder how many times that God has protected us and we knew nothing about it. But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to cheer up because God's protection. He sees about all of His little children. And then verse 24, there's God's providence. Look at your Bible. He's saying, fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Can I tell you, with the providence of God, there are no mistakes, there are no mishaps. I'm thankful that the ways of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. God sees way ahead. He sees way behind. And God has predetermined that many of us in the pathway of life would go into different places and different situations. And it did not catch God by surprise. This storm did not catch God by surprise. Matter of fact, He had a road map that Paul must go down. I'm glad I don't have to choose my road map. You know, I've noticed this in serving God. If you say, you know, I'm going to do this, and you write your itinerary out as you're young, and this is what you're going to do. I'm going to tell you something. If you love God and serve the Jesus of this Bible, and you face life the way many have, you better write all your plans in pencil because you're going to have to erase some of them. Things will change things, but I've come to tell you, God is faithful in His providence, and He sees about all of His little children. Cheer up because God's protection. Cheer up because God's providence. Verse 25, cheer up because God's promise. He says, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Can I tell you, every word in this Bible is still right in this day and this hour. I believe my Bible so much, I even believe on the maps on the outside. Somebody say amen. Boy, I believe God. I wish we could get back to believing God. You know, you remember in the book of Acts when God saved that Philippian jailer and He said, what must I do to be saved? He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Can I tell you, I'm glad He don't stop at one person. I'm glad He go in the household this morning. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. We must believe in Him again and realize His Word is what He said it would be. It's going to stand when this world is a-burning. This world don't love this Bible. Matter of fact, in the libraries, I noticed in one of the states, especially out in California, they took the Bible out of the libraries because they said it was too offensive. But you listen to this old preacher, young people. This would be the greatest book that was ever placed in your schoolhouse. The greatest book ever placed in your house. And the greatest book ever been placed in my house. It's God's book, and I believe what He said. This morning, we ought to cheer up because of His providence, because of His promise, and because of His piloting. Look in verse 26. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. We must be. He's saying that it is our commission from God that we've got to go through some things that we really don't want to go through. But aren't you glad we don't have to go through these things by ourselves? We've got a God that goes through with us. You know, we that are older now, we realize and we appreciate the Lord so much because we see what He does for us every day of our life. You young people, when you're young and you still got that put on your windshield, ain't scared on the front of that pickup window. And you drive that big jacked up truck, you pull in Liberty parking lot, you got to throw a rope out and let your wife down. Somebody say amen. You got ain't scared, put on that window. But there's going to come a time when you go to getting feeble. You'll go to losing some hair and some teeth and some eyesight. You won't be able to swing the way you used to swing. You won't be able to scream the way you used to scream. But I'm glad in the shadows, Brother David, there's a God that's seeing about all of His little children the older that we get. And young people, you realize this morning. You're going to need Him the older that you get. Oh, how we need the Lord. in this day and this hour. So the seven ups, for we see the day approaching. The Bible said that they simply seen this day was approaching. And so he said, first of all, I want you to cheer up. Then in verse 27, notice he says you need to wake up. Wake up. It's amazing how the Lord alliterated this text just verse by verse. The Bible said when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down, watch this, in Adria, about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country. Boy, it's time that we wake up and realize that the Lord is coming. Our time is so limited to be affected. I'd love to think that everybody in the walls of Liberty Baptist Church this morning was saved, ready to meet God. And I want to tell you, if you're not, God sent His Son to die for everybody in this building. Everybody in this country, God sent His Son to die for. My Bible said He paid a price for you. Paid ransom for all. And oh, church, how we need to wake up and realize. Watch this in Romans chapter number 13 about one of these ups in the Bible. Romans 13. Let me take you there just a second. Verse number 11 of Romans 13. We need to wake up. The Bible said that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. You see, one of the seven ups for the day approaching is to wake up. Oh, how we need to wake up and realize the Lord is soon to return. We need to wake up and realize that our salvation is nearer than it has ever been. I got saved in 1981. I was 20 years old. I've been saved a long time. But can I tell you that my salvation is nearer today than it's ever been? You say, preacher, aren't you saved? Oh, yes, I'm saved. I'm thankful I'm saved forever. You say, preacher, do you believe once saved, always saved? I sure do, but I don't believe it's been a lot of people ever been once saved. Somebody say amen, Brother Mike. Somebody help me right there now. That's a good preaching this morning. Now, I want to say, I'm glad I'm saved. And so salvation is nearer than it's ever been. I do know this about salvation. When He moves in, you're a different person. And you can't play with sin no more. It'll bother you. It never bothered me that I got saved. But buddy, when I got saved, sin began to bother me. So we need to cheer up. We need to wake up. Then verse 28. Notice we need to count up. The Bible said they sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they'd gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Count up. What was they doing, preacher? Well, they didn't have depth finders in those days. They didn't have the sonars and the live scopes. But they simply had ropes or chains with marks on them. As they seen they were moving to shallower water, they would let this down and they'd mark it and they'd see how many feet that they were approaching. You notice that they did this twice. They let this down, they began counting, and they realized they were getting closer to the home shore than they'd ever been before. We ought to count up and realize just really how close we are getting to the home shore. Church, in 1 Timothy 4 and verse number 1, watch this, 1 Timothy 4, verse number 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanded to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving to them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused, it be received with thanksgiving. And then Timothy would not stop there. He goes on simply to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. And he says this in verse number 1. 2 Timothy 3 verse number 1. He said, this know also, talking about counting. that in the last days, where are we, church? We're in the last days. There's no doubt about that. That perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. They'll be covetous, boasters. They'll be proud. They'll be blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Well, I want to say something right there, not run many rabbits, but you'll notice this, that the Bible says without natural affection. There's a lot of things that verses teaches us today, that it's not natural that a man marry a man or a woman marry a woman. That's not natural, and bear children. That can't even happen. That's so bizarre. And then you know something? It's not natural that a woman would take and just kill her baby and abuse her baby without those natural affections. Notice this, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Did you know in the average church today, you know how I was in marketing in Pepsi a long time, and I guarantee you this could happen. We could take and we could build, we got a good location, got a pretty church, we could put a couple more wings on it, make it bigger, and we could turn into show business, and we could turn into drama and marketing, and you'd fill this place to capacity. You know why? Because people are lovers of pleasures. They love pleasures. You know, I love to hunt and fish and shoot guns good as any man that's in this building. And you know something? I always had a boat, but I knowed when I could use it. And you know, I love the deer hunt. I know when I can do it. I love to shoot, and I know when I can do it. But, you know, and it's good for people to take time. I'm not chewing you out for having vacation, taking time. I'm going to take some next week. But when it becomes our God, it's wrong. You got to have balance in life and everything that you do and everything God entrusts you with. Don't let it become your God. Lovers of pleasures, man, they love for the performances and the showbiz people come in. It just amazes to me what people allows in churches that God never intended to be in the church. You know, God said, come out from the world and be you separate. We're not to hate people. We're just to be different people. We're to love Jesus and love one another and tell them about the gospel and help people and welcome people. But we're not to turn and look like the world and act like the world. God's house has got to be different. Lord, it's so quiet. Are we at the funeral home this morning? So we ought to count up. And let me tell you something, as I see the way they did, folks, we're getting closer and closer to the home shore. You know, pastors that are going on to heaven that trained me, if they was here preaching this morning in this culture, I tell you what, most of them would be screaming at the top of their lungs, get saved, get saved, get saved, because Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming. You see, as we see the day approaching, we need to cheer up. We need to wake up. We need to count up. Verse 29, we need to pick up. He said, there's some anchors in the boat. You need to cast them out. And I want to say something, church, and you've heard me say it many times, and I mean it with all my heart. Brother Adam, when I don't have answers, Brother Eldred, thank God I've got the anchors. There's been a lot of people through the pastorate of life. They've asked me, preacher, why? I don't know why. But I've noticed this. When we don't have the answers, thank God we've got the anchors. And I can tell you, if there's ever been a day and an hour when we need to learn to pick up some anchors, it is this morning. They cast them out. You know what anchors do? They bring a stability. They bring a security. Mom and Daddy, your children need stability and they need security. Sunday mornings when they wake up. There should never be a word, are we going to church today? They ought to know we're going to church today. So we ought to throw an anchor out in God's house. It brings stability. There's a lot of unperfect people here. You're looking at a very unperfect preacher. But I'm saved by the grace of God. I still believe this Bible teaches we're saved by grace through faith. Nothing plus, nothing minus. It's Calvary's finished work by God's Son. What He's done for us. I want to encourage you to pick up some anchors, young people. Throw them out in the Word of God, the Church of God, and the people of God. Watch this, Hebrews 10:25. I'm about done preaching, but I want to give you this because it hooks in with this text. Hebrews 10:25, about this picking up. Look what the Bible says. Hebrews 10, verse number 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. What's that mean? That means whenever our church assembles, we ought to be there together with each other. As the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. You know what that means? That's encouraging one another. Hey, ladies, a woman comes in with a mismatched outfit. You don't chew her out. You don't look down at her because she don't wear nice things. You say, hey, you look nice this morning. We are to encourage, to exhort one another. Because you remember when COVID hit so strong here and we had to go to the parking lot? That was so hard. Y'all remember when you came back in after about 6 or 7 weeks? And I remember some of y'all came in and said, oh, Lord, that's where we sit. That's where we sit. You remember how much we missed assembling together? There's some people that you're not just going to really love to sit with, but find you a place where you do like to sit at. And love people and be good to people. Everybody don't wear the same thing. Everybody's haircut ain't the same. But honey, at Calvary's cross, we all stand even and we need each other. Young people, what you going to do when your child's sick in the hospital and has nobody to see and pray for you? Older people, what are we going to do now that we're getting older and we need somebody to help? A lot of times, just a little word of encouragement sure will help. Sometimes I look back at folks preaching, they all sad looking in the Bible. The devil tells me, boy, they hate your preaching. And I'm sure they probably do. But thank God you can look around at a few people and they shake their head up and down. Hey, we need to encourage one. You'll be surprised, Brother Adam, in this right when we preach it. We know who's smiling at us and who's a frowning at us. And we don't look at them frowners. I've always told young men in preaching school, don't look at people eyeball to eyeball. Look about 6 feet over the head and you'll have them all fooled. You'll think you're looking at everybody. Oh, this morning, how we need each other at the house of God to encourage. You see that we would exhort one another. And so much the more, here it is. Watch this as you see the day approaching. You know why it's so important we be at church this morning? First of all, because God said it was the Lord's day. And He said upon the first day of the week, we're to assemble ourselves together. I know things happen. But let me tell you, you can get so lax and not coming to church. But I've noticed this about my flesh. A lot of times I've got to tell my legs. Now, legs, you took me to the lake this week. Legs, you took me to the grocery store this week. Legs, you took me to what I wanted to do. Now, you're going to have to take me to what I really don't want to do this morning. And you know something? Church has got to be your priority. And if we'll all just face that, I know this is just bread and butter sermon, but it's so important. If you just realize this, when church is not your priority, you'll hit or miss. And that's all you can say. You can't chew me out about that. I'm in the Bible. Don't get on your preacher if he's reading in the Bible. And so, my goodness, how we need to pick up some anchors and throw them out. Young people, it'll help you so. Verse 34, not only do we need to pick up, but, oh, we need to pray up. I've been preaching too long. We need to pray up. verse number 34, look in that text. Paul told them something. He said, "Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health. There shall not a hair fall from the head of any of you." And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence, watch this, of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. You know, I'm thankful for people that pray that's had influence with me. Praying is real not popular in this day and this hour. I'll never forget this, Brother Tim. I had a man from Birmingham back when I was with Pepsi. He is the CEO of our company. He come to ride my route. And so we was at McDonald's down at Bremen. And I hadn't been around this man a lot. And they brought our Big Macs to us and sat down. And I told him, I said, "Mr. Redinger, I said, I always pray over my meal. Would you like to pray with me?" "Yes, sir, preacher. Yes, sir." So I prayed in public. And when I raised up my head, there was this elderly man coming with his tray going to the waste paper can to throw away his stuff. And I'll never forget this. He put a $20 bill on our table and he said, "I want to thank y'all for your Christian witness this morning." I'll never forget what Mr. Redinger said to me, Parker. He looked up and he said, "Preacher, has this happened to you a lot?" I said, "No, not a lot, but it does happen." What are you saying? Boy, the influence of public praying. Young kids, they may tell you you can't pray in school, but you can pray in school. They may tell you you can't pray down at the courthouse, but you can pray any place you want to pray. And don't you never forget that that's something this old world can never take away from you. It's to pray to the God that loves us. You know how we need Him this morning. Miss Emily, won't you come? I won't try to finish this sermon. I've preached a lot longer than I intended. Y'all so easy to preach to. We need to count up, pick up, pray up. Verse 37, we need to lighten up. The Bible said we were all in the ship, 203, and watch this, 16 souls. A lot of churches just see numbers. A lot of ministries just see numbers. But can I tell you, God don't see numbers. He sees individuals as souls, and we've all got a soul, and we're all going to meet God with that soul one day. And the Bible says there's no option of being saved. You must be born again. Preacher, what is that? Would you explain that to me before I go home? You must be born again. What is that? Well, let me tell you, when the Word of God goes out, the Spirit of God starts knocking on your heart and deals with you as a sinner. And you see that you're a sinner. And at that time, you move by faith toward the Savior. Faith is a little child. And you accept Him as your Savior. You pray and ask God to forgive you and come live in your life and help you. The Bible says the Spirit of God comes and lives in us. And I'm so thankful I've been born from above this morning. And you could be saved too. Let me tell you, here, as they were taught to lighten up, He talked about the souls. And when they'd eaten enough, they lightened the ship. Cast out the wheat in the sea. And when it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore into which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust in the ship. So here, there was a lightening up. They threw things off board that they didn't need. The Bible teaches us to get rid of that sin that does so easily beset us. It's terrible to carry sin around as a Christian. Oh, we all are dumping off in the ocean of God's forgetfulness this morning, that we may carry on lighter toward God's home shore. And lastly, not only is there must be a picking up, praying up, a lighting up, but verse 40, there's a lifting up. Look what he said. When they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves to sea. They loosed the rudder bands and hoist up the mainsail to the wind. And made toward the shore. That's why I'm trying to get Liberty Baptist Church to realize we need to lift up the mainsail and head toward the home shore. God's been so good to us. And I'm thankful when God's wind blows through our hearts, Brother Wallace. It sure does help us to get to the other side. You know, you that don't know about this text, Miss Emily's going to play. It's a... Brother Mike, you know I'm a particular on preaching and points. And sometimes I leave my outline and because it just don't fit what I made at home. God's wanting me to go in a different direction. But I want to give you the eighth up this morning. And here it is in the text. Look what they've done. Y'all listen to this. Very important. The Bible said, and they hoist up the mainsails. There's the lifting up. 41, and falling in a place where two seas met. They ran the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast, remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first in the sea and get to land. And the rest, some on boards, some on broken pieces, watch this, of the ship. So it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. And when they were escaped, they knew the island was called Melita. Here it is, verse number 28. There's a welcoming up. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness. For they kindled a fire, received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. You say, preacher, what happened there? Well, some of these went in on broken pieces. Some men went in easier. They swam to shore. But I come to tell you, this Bible said they all made it to the other side because they was in the ship. 276 souls, they made it to the other side. And can I tell you, you know Jesus this morning, you're going to the other side. Honey, you may have to swim out. You may have to ride it out. But I sure am glad it's going to be a welcoming up when we get home. They received us, everyone. No black and white there. Oh my. No Jew and Gentile. Going to receive us all as one. They built the fire and received us, everyone. Stand with me this morning around the house.